listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Reciprocity Radio, a show about food, cooking, eating, drinking, sharing recipes, anything that's on your plate or on your table. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Amanda, host of the show. It's here every Sunday at 5 on Radio Free Brooklyn, and I'm joined by my friend Spencer today.
Hello.
Hello, Spencer. How are you?
I'm really great today.
Good. That's good. Happy Sunday. Yeah. Thank you for joining me. So today we are going to talk about something I really love, probably too much, and I got to take a really cool class today about it, and that topic is bread, which I'm, if you've ever heard the show, it's likely that I've brought up that I love bread probably more than anything, and would eat it as a last meal with like really good butter. And I got to take a class about making bread today. That was the first time I've ever done it. I have cooked many things and baked pretty much every type of baked good, but I've never made bread. So that was exciting. And I guess I should tell you about the class that I took. It was a really small class led by Dana Evans, who does a project called Permanent Bake Sale. You can find that at Permanent Bake Sale on Instagram. And every week she sells bread. And then donates to really wonderful causes like women's education and like a lot. Just like every week there's a different charity and it's always like amazing stuff. And yeah, so check out Permanent Bake Sale on Instagram. That's where I took the class. It was really, really, really like now I feel like I can make some bread, which is a crazy feeling. It's very empowering, but also now I am the parent of a starter. So I have to not kill the starter.
Gotta feed that baby.
Gotta feed the baby. So yeah, I don't even know where to begin on this. Like, So Spencer had a perfect idea, which is to make the topic of today's show things that get a rise out of us, or food that does. So.
Yes.
Sorry. And I love that. And I think I looked up because I was like, where did that saying come from? And I thought I had it. Not that. Anyway, where did that come from? I like to do this with like things that people say, like I guess colloquialisms or whatever, and try to guess. What would your guess be? Bread or?
Yeah, I think it would be bread. Right. I mean, what else? Like they didn't have like Apple Watches to let them know that they're.
It's true. I don't know.
Okay. Heart rate was rising.
That's true. No monitors back in the day. It says, to get up from lying, sitting, or kneeling posture, assume the upright position. That's like the definition of this thing. I guess I should have looked more into where it came from, but I was just really curious. To get up from bed. I don't understand. Well, anyway, to cause to rise from a visible horizon by approaching nearer to it.
Mm.
Interesting. Yeah. My friends used to do a fake show that was all about this. They would literally just like pick these kind of things and then try to describe where they came from, but it was never real. Anyway.
Which rose first, bread or the sun?
Oh, wow.
Probably the sun.
The sun. Bread takes a long time. That's what I learned today. It takes a really long time, and it is one of those things. Like, it's like thinking about riding a bike too hard. Like if you try to like think about what's happening, you can't, you're just gonna get the yips and like fall down. And this bread is like that. It is it's a long process. It takes like 36 hours to make sourdough. That's what we were making. I'm rambling. It was really fun. Have you ever made bread?
I have made bread.
Okay.
I used to feed a baby often.
Wow. So was that difficult for you, or did you?
I loved it.
Okay, great.
I would feed it, and I would like let it rise overnight, and then I would bake it in the morning, go on a run, and come back to like the most wonderful smell in my apartment.
Oh my god!
It's very like methodical and timed out, but as soon as that like one piece of that whole routine got broken, bread was done.
Yeah.
And then once in college, I was given like friendship bread, which is like someone gives you a starter and has like a little note in it. It's like two Ziploc bags and it's like feed this bread. It's like given to me by this woman that I like so adored. Aww. Who's a phenomenal artist. And I was like, I can't kill this bread. And I totally killed the bread.
It's like, it's a big, yeah, I think it would be, if I wasn't reassured very many times today that I would be able to get more from Dana or that possibly other people that attended the class, I would be very freaked out that I would never have a starter if I kill it. And for those listening out there, like the mother dough starter is like a really heady combination of almost dropped something there. Like yeast and flour, and it gets all gooey and makes the yeast basically really active and alive, and that's what gives sourdough its beautiful taste, but also gives the bread a rise. Slinging that correctly. And it's like an organism. You have to feed it. If it's overfed, it'll die. If it's underfed, it'll die. And you have to feed it by separating a small piece of it, and then you add more flour and water.
It's just like the craziest thing about bread. It's like such a living food. Like it's throughout its whole process. Like it rises, it breathes, it like gurgles. And then you like bake it and it's like steamy and it makes all these noises. And it's like, hey, I'm a living, breathing thing. I know I just came out of the oven. Don't cut into me yet. I have to like go to sleep so that I can like settle down.
I know. That's like, that was like the last thing we learned in class. And we were all like so disheartened. We're like, wait, you can't eat it right away.
No, you just have to listen to it like steaming and bubbling and like. Doing all of its magic. You're like,
I hope I hope I didn't cut the one I just gave you too early, but I'm think sure it's fine. Yeah, I tried to wait, and then I was like, no, I can't. I drove because I drove back from the class in a car to go, and it just made the whole car smell like bread. And I was like, I have to eat this. I'm sorry, it's just gonna happen. Anyway, yeah, I am just like feel like a nervous new parent or something. I guess that's probably the wrong analogy, but. So we left the class, and she gave us bread that we baked, so we went through the process there. But also, I have a dough that I'm going to bake at home, and I'm, like, so nervous. Anyway, and that's, like, exciting. It's just like, okay, now I have this thing. I really hope I don't fuck up. And the other thing that I have to feed now, which is exciting.
So are you going to keep, like, a bread journal?
Maybe.
Like, be like, yes. Oh, it was 68 degrees in my apartment and 37 percent humidity.
I should get it. I've been thinking about getting a thermometer for my apartment because it's very inconsistent. Yeah. Sometimes it's very hot because of the heater, and then sometimes the heater's just like not on. And so that'll be an interesting journey. I'm very curious about trying other flours. I immediately wanted to make like crazy flavors.
Yeah.
Like dump a bunch of black pepper in it or something. it is funny, like the whole new world has opened up. Sourdough pizza dough, sourdough waffle,
pancakes.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite things. I don't really know. I forgot to ask her this, but so when you make a starter, as we were discussing, you basically like take a piece of it and it regrows, and you don't need to keep the rest of the old one. It's just keeps. It's like I don't even know how to explain it. It's like an amoeba that just separates. So she was like, oh, yeah, I'll just, like, fry this in a pan, the one I'm throwing away. And I was like, what does that taste like?
Delicious.
I'm so curious. So I will try that next week when I feed my starter. Yeah. And I won't kill it, I promise. Maybe. Yes. Well, what should we, what do you want to say about bread or things to get it?
Ooh. There's so many places to go with bread.
I know, yeah.
It's so hard. I love it so much. Maybe even more than Oprah loves bread.
Oh. And she Oprah does love bread. Is Oprah, what? Is she a Taurus? I feel like.
I don't know.
I don't know either. We need to know Oprah's zodiac. Oprah astrological chart. We're learning all about everything here on Reciprocity.
I think I would like to share with the good people the production of bread.
Oh, yes. Okay.
That's, it's like a big deal when people didn't have to bake bread at home.
Yeah.
But it also is a big deal because, like, you had all this commercial bread, but then, like, what happened to, like, the neighborhood bakery?
Yeah.
And, like, I love the neighborhood bakery. That's, like, one of my favorite things about cities is, like, you get better bread.
Yeah.
Because there's like more competition and like good bread rises to the top. like quite literally.
Yeah.
And so like having a beloved neighborhood bakery that's like cherished is like such a place of community, because I would so much rather buy a $4 or $5 loaf of bread that's like crusty and delicious and nourishing and was alive once over like the convenience of like slicing pre-sliced bread.
Yeah.
So
I feel that very strongly also. And that was actually something we talked about a ton during the class, which Dana was pointing out, like the effort that goes into making bread, it's a miracle that it's so cheap, because it's like, it's a long process.
It's involves a lot of labor.
Yeah, it involves a lot of attention. And she makes like 8 loaves to sell every week. And that's like, it's a crazy amount of work. Like she was breaking it down for us, how much time she has to spend. And then we were all just like, yeah, what about like, where is a good bakery here? One of the girls in the class was French, and she's like, you just can't get it here. And we're all kind of like, you're kind of right. I have never, personally never had like French bread in France, but everyone else seemed to agree. And then we were like, okay, there's like 2 that are maybe good. And like, it was just like in the whole city of New York, which is like so much food and everything done to like perfection. Still, somehow bread is this thing that we were like, we can't, where do we get the good stuff? Where's the local bakery? Yeah, just like, anyway. This is a clip from bread being made in a factory in 1946, so right around World War II. And I'm excited to hear this. Thank you. This is shared by Spencer. Where is that?
Flour by sifting and blending. The other ingredients, such as sugar, yeast, shortening, milk, and salt, are weighed or measured carefully according to set formulas. A man called a mixer starts the bread on its way to the table by pouring the ingredients into a huge dough mixing machine. He sets a scale which weighs out just the right amount of blended and sifted flour. The flour falls from an overhead hopper into the mixer, which is then set in motion. 1/2 ton of dough, enough for 1,000 loaves, can be mixed in some machines. When the dough is ready, it is dumped into a trough, which the mixer's helper wheels into the air-conditioned fermentation room. In this warm, moist place, the yeast cells multiply and the dough rises. To make good bread, the dough must be allowed to ferment just the right length of time. The skill of the bakery superintendent is called on in working out proper schedules. Next, the dough goes to the divider, where it is separated into pieces the right size for individual loaves. The divider man checks the weight of the pieces and regulates his machine so that the output is uniform. The rounding machine rolls the dough into compact balls. These travel slowly for a time on an endless belt in an air-conditioned cabinet or overhead proofer. This gives the dough a chance to rise again. Then the pieces are fed into the molder, which flattens them and rolls each one up into the proper shape for the pans. The pieces are delivered to men known as panners, who place them in greased bake pans. The pan racker puts the pans on racks, which go into a proof box, where further rising, called proofing, takes place. Here, too, temperature, humidity, and time must be carefully controlled. Then the bread is ready for baking. The oven loader sets the pans on the moving steel belt or hearth, which carries the bread slowly through the oven where it can be observed through windows. Finally, it is delivered, baked to a golden brown, and the oven dumper puts the loaves onto a belt leading to the cooling room. The oven man has a responsible job. He must regulate the temperature and humidity in various parts of the long oven to ensure bread that is baked to a turn. After cooling, the loaves go into a slicing and wrapping machine. Its razor-sharp blades slice about 40 loaves a minute. The machine does all the work, but the operator must watch it closely to see that everything goes smoothly. The wrapping end of the machine, too, is completely automatic. Wholesale bread is usually distributed by route salesmen delivering to stores and restaurants all over the city. But this mass distribution has not put the small retail bakery out of business by any means.
That was fascinating. Spencer pointed out, like, just even the automated process of making bread is still really labor intensive. There's the oven man and the bread man. It's interesting with these like store bought things. Like, you go to the grocery store, there's a whole aisle for this. It's just, I don't know. I'm kind of now. My mind's being cracked open to the possibilities of it.
But also, like, how many ingredients did you use today in your class?
About like 3 or 4. Yeah. Three. 2 different types of flours, and then salt and water.
And time.
Time. Yeah. And time.
And heat.
Time, yeah.
Heat. And so, like, that's the other crazy part of, like, there's all of these processes that are put in to then, like, stabilize the bread and make it last and, like, live longer. It's like, oh, we're going to make these superhuman breads that can last and be shipped across the country. And, like, there's something about a fresh loaf of bread.
Oh, my God.
Or even, like, a day-old stale bread that's, like, croutons and all of the goodness that comes with, like, that, like, next day dried out goodness that you just don't get with the slice of wonder.
No. Yeah, and there's also, like, issues with nutrition. There's a bunch of, this is enough, like, to more than one show. Because it really did change, like, when people just started bringing home this, like, and white bread, a lot of those things have the flour is basically stripped away, so there's not as much nutrition as could be possible. One of the really cool things that we got to see today was that Dana buys flowers from, like, the green market. And I forgot to ask her which one, but I'm going to assume it was the Union Square one, but or hope that it is, so I can stop by on Wednesday and see if they have it. But she had freshly milled flowers, and you could, like, peel all the, like, texture.
Ooh.
It's in the bread. It's amazing. Like, and it adds even more depth and flavor. And, yeah. It was like she had different bags, so you got to smell and, like, touch different textures of different freshly milled things that are made here, like, in New York.
Yeah, there's this like Bananas Bakery in Portland, Oregon, that hand mills all of their flour.
Oh my God.
They have, like, a big, like, machine in the back, and they're, like,
gosh.
All the employees, like, stand around it and, like, operate this, like, person powered mill to make, like, old, like, fife loaves with, like, old ancient, like, red grains.
That's amazing. All these
things. Bread is so good. It's, like, so heavenly, but it's, like, so much work.
Yeah.
To do that. And then they also, at that particular place, they also have, like, salsa nights and, like, dance, because they're like, it's warm because we have the we have the oven, so let's dance.
Let's pretend this is tropical.
Yeah,
it's makes pretty sense. Nice. Yeah. Something I didn't know was how important steam is in industrial baking, and that's part of the process when you bake bread or sourdough today, like we did today. Is like it needs to be contained for the first part of it because it kind of steams itself. And I didn't know that at all. I had, like, no idea that was such a huge part of forming the crust on the, like, the good crunchy outer layer. That's how that happens. So now I have to, like, I have to buy a Dutch oven as if that's something I wouldn't use constantly. I don't know why I don't have one.
You don't have a Dutch oven?
No.
I would have imagined that you would have.
I know. I have a cast iron that I love, and Dana had this really cool thing. It was like a double cast iron cooker. I've never seen one of those before. It was awesome. Like, you know that?
No, I'm trying to imagine.
It's really cool. It's like one part of it is like what you would imagine a cast iron to look like, a regular pan, and then there's like a pot part, and you can put the cast iron part on the top. The flat, like, circle, it's like the flat regular pan can be on the top, and, like, I assume you could cook underneath in the bowl part and the top at the same time.
Ooh.
Or you can take the giant bowl part and, like she did, and put it on as a big old lid. It's like, I've never heard of this.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, now I don't know which of these I want to buy because they're both cool. I guess Dutch ovens are, like, for stews and everything, but it's the old school. Instapot.
It's the old school Instapot.
Yeah.
Set it and forget it.
Set it and forget it. I know, I should do that because I want to, like, I'm like getting, I don't know what it is about. Maybe I can't tell if it's the age or if it's just because I talk about food every week or if it's like this time of year or this like political or whatever time, like the zeitgeist. But I really want to start, you know, I'm going to make bread. I want to start like making beans from dry, like all this stuff. It's like really involved. And I feel like it's definitely not just me. It's like a lot of people. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I think there's definitely a taking time, making time thing that's like happening like with people in my circles of like there's a real intentionality of like I want to be really mindful while I do things, and I also like I do have time, like I think it part of it, at least for me, is like the new like screen time feature
on Apple devices. I did not use it yet.
Oh, apparently I have like hours in the day that I could be baking bread like doing illustrations and all these other things that I'm like, oh, I just don't have time to do.
Oh, no.
So like, for me, that's like, oh, like maybe I can, you know, take a couple of minutes for the next 16 hours to like tend to some bread.
That's perfect. Yeah, it is kind of like a perfect, like, it's definitely good if you're like, if you're one of those people that like needs a little intermittent breaks in between or like a reward or a snack or something like that, or to do timed tasks. Bread is perfect because you do have to like in the folding stage you need to like do it every 25 to 30 minutes for like 3 or 4 hours. So it's the perfect thing if you're like trying to write and you're kind of like, okay, I'm right, I gotta do something else to clear my head.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's like a very imprecise, precise thing.
Yep.
It's like a precise set of like ratios to make the bread.
Yeah.
And then the timing's a little flexible. It's not like being like, oh, well, I'll like wait till it gets to stiff peaks if you're like working on something else and like that you would typically do in the baking space. And then you're it's like, true. Oh, it's too far gone. Bread's like, hey, I'm still here.
Still bread.
I just got more air.
It's true. She kept reiterating that it's like, it's a forgivable thing. And even if you kind of mess up, it's still going to be good.
Yeah.
It's still going to taste really good. So I was like, I don't know. It was really nice. I like, it was interesting to be in a class with like a mix of personalities in terms of what our cooking skills and ways all were. Like, I really enjoyed that part of it because I'm like, I started cooking by baking as a kid, so I'm very recipe oriented. Even now, I can not do that, but it took me a long time. And other people in the class were like, oh, I just like to like throw things in a pot. Like,
yeah.
Some of us were like not taking notes. Some of us had like full pages of notes.
Yeah, I remember like my first bread that I ever made at home was Bittman's like no knead bread recipe.
Okay. Yeah, that came like, up a lot. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, proof of concept. Proof. Proof of concept. I can do this. It's delicious.
That's awesome. I
can make this happen.
I want to try that one too.
Yeah. Highly suggest it.
Okay. Well.
Are there any bread novices out there? A very like
Mark Bittman.
Yeah.
Okay. Mark Bittman. Yeah. No need. That's in like the New York Times cooking.
Yes. Yes. Also involves or suggests a Dutch oven cooking.
Yes.
Method.
Well, yes. I think like that's definitely an investment piece that will last you your whole life. So,
you know, or you could build a wood fired oven in your kitchen. Ooh. Or your apartment. Just don't tell your landlord.
Check with the landlord.
It'll be totally fine.
Just use my fireplace. That's funny. No, Mark, I need to, like, I don't think I have a New York Times subscription, but I have a New York Times cooking subscription because they have so many good things. And there is a really cool thing I'll mention just for this time of year. I think I just saved it on. There's, like, a Mark Bittman guide to making soups on a New York Times cooking, and it's, like, without a recipe. So it's just kind of like, if you want this, here's some steps. You can alter it these ways. And that's it. It's perfect. It was, like, I don't know. If you're out there and you're like, I'm cold and I want soup, check that out.
Yeah.
Mark Bittman, I mean, obviously, he's a huge influence in food anyway.
Also, like, very simple soup recipe.
Yeah.
With, like, day-old or, like, multiple-day-old bread.
Yeah.
You just, like, chunk it up and, like, pick your vegetable of choice. Like, some broccoli does really well, some tomatoes. It makes a really nice, thick, creamy soup. You, like, just, like, you know, bring everything up to a boil and then a simmer, throw it in, blend it all up together, maybe toast the bread first, add some like cheese on top, some bacon or beans, whatever you suits your fancy.
That's...
And you've got like a nice creamy thick soup It's like super nourishing. And then you can like have more bread on top of it.
Why not? Yeah, another girl in the class said she, when she was buying the loaves from Dana before, she would cut the ends off, but like make them into croutons. Yeah. And it's like, that is brilliant for soup. That was the perfect soup. On reciprocityradio.com, I have a recipe for tomato bread soup that's from the former restaurant Franny's. But they have a cookbook, Franny's, like for all seasons, I think is what it's called. And it's like the best book, but that was one of my absolute favorite soups. Just like tomatoes and onions and bread. It's like heavenly. And it's a great way to use old bread because I've been trying to think about that more too. One of the reasons I don't ever really buy baguettes is I don't like get through it and I don't know what to do. But croutons, like breadcrumbs, homemade breadcrumbs. There's a recipe for that on Reciprocity Radio too. It could not be easier, and it's great on anything from salad to pasta and yogurt. yeah, there's lots of uses for bread. I don't know. I do all this research before the show starts, and then I'm like, what do I do here? Anyway,
so do you have a favorite bread?
No, no, but I think that like. I don't even know. I don't even watch, like, so I don't watch Bob's Burgers, but I feel like the character that's obsessed with butts, I'd be like asking her to pick a favorite butt.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I can pick a favorite
Tina.
Butt. Okay. So that was a weird analogy, but I was like, that's what I'm thinking of, like envisioning all the breads and just like looking around and being like, I can't. I don't know. I don't go to Whole Foods pretty much ever. It's not, it's just kind of out of, I don't know, it's out of the way for where I live, but I bought a loaf there that was like something, a bread made with beer, and it was very, very, very good. And it was like a darker grain, sour, crusty, like,
yeah.
I don't know. How about you?
I tend to like a nice pumpernickel,
uh-huh.
Like a really like dark.
Dark pump.
Dark pump. Yeah, I was in Target like 2 days ago.
That's so funny.
In the bread aisle, like looking at all the breads, and there's what is that company? I think it was Pepperidge Farm.
Yeah,
like the double bag people.
Yes.
They're like, oh, like you want bread, but like
you need to unwrap it twice.
You need to unwrap it twice. See Mitch Hedberg for reference. But they had this one that's like pumpernickel and dark, and then like instead of just saying like dark pumpernickel. You know, because there's space on the packaging to do that.
Yeah.
It just says dark pump. It's like, oh, like, is someone going like, honey, like, just go to the store and get me a couple loaves of dark pump.
I really hope not.
I hope so.
Okay.
I think that that's like such a ridiculous thing.
It is funny.
To like be on a grocery list. And I just like sat there and laughed in the aisle for like a good 3 minutes. It was great. So I like that. And then I also like Anadama bread. Do you know about Anadama bread? It's bread with cornmeal.
Ooh, okay.
So it like has this like earthen, like southern goodness to it.
Nice.
And like of the folklore of this bread, like someone just like, you know, someone's like partner, wife, person who's like kind enough to be making them bread, accidentally like knocks some cornmeal into the bread. Because it's like open and probably resting. Like, oh, I'm about to. Oh, no. Now there's cornmeal in the bread.
Oh, no.
And so it's like, oh, Hannah Dammer. That's like one version, which is like highly problematic.
Huh.
But like out of this comes this really glorious bread. That's like perfect for sandwiches. Really delightful in soups. And really good for like breakfast. Because it's got like kind of like a corn cake.
Yeah.
Quality.
Awesome.
Highly, highly suggest.
Seek that out. Maybe look up a recipe.
Or, you know, just like take one of your recipes and throw some cornmeal.
Yeah. Well, it's not quite the same, but I like textured flour a lot. And I have, how am I forgetting what it's called at this exact moment? semolina. I have a lot of semolina at home for pasta purposes, but I didn't have any AP or like regular flour this weekend, and I wanted to make waffles, so I tried with semolina.
No.
Wasn't no. I think, I mean, there's a reason why recipes when you use that to bake usually like do a mix, because it's just a little too textured. But I was like so hoping. It was fun to try. I was like, let me make this really like Italian waffle with polenta, or sorry, semolina and like citrus zest and like olive oil for the fat. It didn't quite work, and then I kind of made it into a funnel cake, and it was good, but yeah, it was good. A little weird.
Seems like that would actually benefit from some polenta or cornmeal.
Yeah, that's probably true. I should buy
some like olives.
I'm going to end up like having so many jars of flour now, which is going to be fascinating to keep around the house. Like, this is my rye flour, this is my rice flour, this is my AP, this is my AP 00.
And then Will Ferrell can show up at your door and say, I brought you flowers.
Oh, man, I love that movie. What is that movie? It's, oh my gosh, with Will Ferrell and Maggie Gyllenhaal. And I forgot the name of it.
I forget the name.
It's okay. Oh, something like, something in fiction, I don't know.
Louder?
Stranger?
Stranger?
I don't know. It's very cute. I definitely died at that point. I was like, oh my god, that's the best game ever. I was trying to see if there was a recipe. I have this copy of James Beard's Beard on Bread. I've read from it before in the show. I'm excited to dive in, but I'm also like nervous now that I know more and there's so many types of breads, including egg, and there's flat breads, grilled breads, filled breads, fried breads, griddled breads. And that's just like the back, the regular front of it. It's like 70 pages of just how to make actual bread. I'm very, a little nervous about it.
And so do you also have a serrated knife?
I do.
Okay.
But I'm realizing I'm missing a lot of things, including the Dutch oven. I don't have a scorer,
yeah,
which is a kind of like a, looks like a razor on a stick, basically, that you use to score the bread to help steam escape so it can cook evenly. And the other thing I'd never heard of, and I was trying to Google for a second there, is a Benetton, which I believe must be not said like that, but because they were like Benetton, and I was like, what?
So the basket thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's little,
like, that must be the little basket with a cloth in it.
Yeah, it is. It is. I never had even seen that. It's a little like basket, made of wicker or some kind of fibrous material, and then there's a cloth. And the purpose of that is to put the bread in so that it can wick away moisture as the bread rests for its like period. I've almost said gestation period. Ooh. I need to get that too. I was like, oh man, now I have this whole list I need to take to the cooking supply store. But that's, of course, exciting for someone like me. And she said a trick you can do if you do not have a Benetton is to put the bread dough in a colander. It'll be wrapped in a tea towel, obviously, but the colander can also help with the evaporation of moisture. So that's pretty exciting stuff to learn. And now I'm going to have like this. I always did wonder, because I see a lot of people on Instagram or like other chefs, they bake bread and their bread had this like swirl pattern on it. And that's from the basket. So I was like, how do they all have cool bowls? What is that? I don't know. There's so many things. I'm just excited to start this journey. And like now I feel like, I'm a little worried that it's like wine or whiskey, in which like now that I've had really good bread, I'm going to be ruined for everything else. But I don't know. We'll see.
Well, there's still all the things that go on bread.
That's true. Know?
So bad bread can be saved with the toasting.
That's true.
And a good topping, I think, often.
Do you have a favorite toast topping?
For a while, I was doing like salted ricotta.
Oh yeah,
with like jam or cherry tomatoes, like cut up on top. That's my favorite, mostly because like I like a thick slice of toast, like a good like 2-inch slice of toast. But like instead of toast, I like fry both sides.
Yeah, no,
And then like top that and then cut it in half, part the C of the slice of bread, and it's like.
It's beautiful.
Dripping and glorious and like fatty and sweet and crunchy and a great, delightful breakfast.
I love that.
Or snack.
I read that. Yeah, somebody, I follow a letter, a newsletter from Marianne Bull, who does really amazing ceramics. You should look her up. But she put this recipe for fried toast, just the same way that you make it, like olive oil or whatever your favorite. Yeah. And you like pan fried it. So it's like 7 ways this will make your life better.
Oh,
it's making toast this way.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's such a simple thing, but now I'm like convinced and sold that my life will be better.
Oh, it's, I was introduced to it in Savannah, Georgia, by my roommate who worked at a bakery called Back in the Day Bakery. Cheryl and Griff. Shout out, Cheryl and Griff. I hope I can come get some bread pudding soon. Mm. But yeah, that place was great. We always had bread in the house as a result of like
that's so awesome.
The Bakery Connect. And she had like the best food industry tattoo. Like every year she worked at the bakery, she got a baguette
aww.
Tattooed as like a Roman numeral.
Yeah.
So like there's that's like amazing. A ring of like Roman numeral baguettes on her upper arm.
I love that.
And I'm like, that's such a great idea. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, I'm like, now I'm just salivating about bread. Thinking about toast. I was thinking about in the class, Dana's like, yeah, no, like we always have bread. There's not a meal where that's like not a part of it. And I'm hoping that's what will happen. And that, like, I will be that person and I'll like show up to the dinner party and be like, here's some beautiful bread. I mean, I've also made butter. So now, you know,
you're ready.
I'm ready. You can also find butter experiment and recipe on reciprocityradio.com in the recipe section. I did it. And you can do it in the food processor or by hand. It's up to you how you want to do it. But you can actually just do it in a blender, which is kind of nuts. Once you figure out that you can make butter from scratch, the world is your oyster. but yeah. What's this? Oh, on toast? Would you like to read from it?
Sure.
If you want to.
I would love to.
Thank you. This is from James Beard's Beard on Bread.
Yeah. This is Beard on Bread. Toast. It seems to me that one seldom finds toast that is really toasted. Usually it's a flabby piece of warm bread with slight color to it. My thoughts go a long way to the days when I first lived in England and one would still use a toasting fork in front of the fire to toast bread, crumpets, and muffins for tea. Never, never, never has toast smelled or tasted as good, save for when it has been done over a toast rack on a stove or over coals. Our electric toasters are extremely efficient, but people do not use them correctly. Bread is not toasted when it takes on color. It must have a change in texture as well. So don't be afraid of darker toast and put it in a rack afterwards so that it crisps instead of sogs. Nothing is as revolting as a plate of toast one usually receives in a restaurant or a hotel. This comes buttered and wrapped in a napkin, and while it may have been crisp when it came from the toaster, it has, in the meantime, steamed to a most unpleasant texture. On the other hand, English toast is often kept too long in a rack, so it becomes cold, although crisp. I'm not sure which is the greater crime, particularly when a perfect piece of toast made from good bread is one of the most delicious of foods, and one that any fool can make.
Wow.
So, like, if you're on a date, like, be like, I made you toast. This is great. I didn't mess it up. It's not soggy. It's crisp. It's warm.
It's so
second
funny.
Date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second date toast. Maybe we should, with Valentine's Day coming up, we could write some like second date toast or second day. Yeah. And like next, the morning after toast.
Morning after toast.
I don't know. Depending on how good you are at making toast.
Yeah, there will be a day instead of being like, how do you like your eggs?
Mm,
how do you like your toast?
That is, yeah, that should be a question. I actually really have a problem with the toast going on the plate thing, so I really loved hearing about that. I do that even at home. I'll like pull it out of the toaster and like prop it up so it doesn't get. But I'm always like, why don't people just have a mini rack for just this purpose?
Yeah.
Now, I love it when another person complains about something that you don't like. It's very like affirming.
Yes.
Feel very strongly about that and like all kinds of things, just like how you make avocado toast, like
it's a whole process.
Got a lot of opinions on it. But everyone has their own way, which is also really beautiful. It's just sort of like eggs as well. But yeah. I think summer is my favorite. I've talked about this a lot in the show, but summer is like my favorite time of year. The produce is incredible and it's just like nonstop fresh things from spring all the way into like September. And my favorite thing about this time of year is just like eating any kind of fresh vegetable on toast, mm-hmm. like some kind of like slaw or like fresh shaved asparagus or tomatoes. Or
is that because it's like one of the like few things you can cook without like heating up your whole?
It's part of it, but it's just like the way, like if I could just have a plate of like, not bruschetta, but like that kind of type of food, that would just be like, that's what I want. Mm. like. things on bread.
Yeah.
To the point where I would like open a restaurant on that theme, but I think it would be too on the nose for millennial interests. But like that's just how I like to eat anyway. And I think that's kind of like something really good about that. Even stew, even anything, just something like piled on really good bread is so soothing. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
And do you do the fondues in the winter?
I don't make fondue at home, but my parents make it every year around New Year's or after Christmas. We did it this year too, and it's so good. I actually made pretzels for it this year, which is really fun. But now I'm like, I wonder if I can use my starter to make pretzels. We had a really beautiful bread that Dana had made that was a challah bread. And she made challah, but it was like savory with everything.
That sounds delicious.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We were all like, we were making bread and we took a snack break and it was like so delicious. I don't know. I need to do that. And then I was like, I want to make pretzels with everything seasoning. That would be amazing. Which is probably why my head is like spinning today because I'm like, I have ideas. Yeah. I am a big fan of toasts. I'm a big fan of stews reinforced with breads. Are there any? We have some more clips that you had got, which are really amazing. We did How Bread is Made. We have this two commercials for bread. Do you want to hear those now?
Yeah, we can do one short one. Yeah.
This is there's a 25 second and there's a 4 minute of Kern's Bread. So we're going to hear that really quickly.
Riffs on a theme.
Well, County Road 11, I was cooking live. Thermometer read about 105. I had a 10-ton Kearns-type bread truck a-humping all day. Yeah, pumping out steam. Had 1,000 cubes and they was running cool. Was till I run out of bread truck fuel. If Mama Kearns fill her up and keep on a truckin' cafe, give me 10 gallon. Well, she filled my tank. I said, thank you, honey. Name was Mavis. I gave her the money. Says, how's about a Mama Kearns burger and an ice cream cone? Cool myself off with. Put a patty on the grill and back she came. Says, tell me, truck man, what's your name? I says, A.J. Tucker, and I haul for Kearns. Y'all can call me A.J. Well, I give her a wink and she eyeballed me. It was hot Kearns love, plain to see. And then she handed me a Mama Kearns burger on a pretty pink tray, nice fresh bun. Well, I finished up the burger, said bye now, hun. Then I left her a truckload of fresh Kearns buns for Mama Kearns, fill her up and keep on a truckin' cafe. Yeah, Kearns is good buns. Well, truckin' Kearns just west of Deaver, road was wet, slick as a beaver. Windshield wiper been a whoopin' up a storm all day, heavy precip. Well, I popped the clutch, gave a tranny a spin, geared on down, slid on in to Mama Kearns, fill her up and keep on a truckin' cafe. Hung up my slicker. Well, I grabbed a stool and then I spied a waitress. Pretty little thing, named Mavis. Ordered up a good old hot Kearns sweet roll and a cup of hot tea. Well, I poured the coffee, she is hot as a pistol. Took one sip and strolled my whistle. I had to cool my choppers with additional fresh Kearns rolls. They's guaranteed fresh. Well, I looked outside, it was cold and wet. I had a truck full of rolls, so there we sat. Just Mavis and me and the truck and the rolls and the rain. Yeah, let her pour. Well, them fresh Kearns rolls is a pure delight. And if it hadn't cleared, I'd have stayed all night. If Mama Kearns fill her up and keep on the truck in the cafe. Yeah, Kearns is good rolls. Well, I was trucking bread up north of Pine Knot. Had a road full of holes like to bust my shocks. I had a Kearns bread 18-wheeler trying to jump them all day, hopping like a rabbit. Had a load of white and a load of wheat. They's guaranteed fresh and ready to eat. For Mama Kearns, fill her up and keep on a truckin' cafe. Bread City, yeah. Well, I parked myself and got a load of the waitress. She's stacked like a truck and her name's Mavis. Ordered up a half dozen slices of Kearns fresh white, maximum enriched. She took my order, leaned over and said, what you gonna have to go with your bread? We got a Mama Kearns truck driving special that you ought to try. I said, what is it? She says, a side of fries and a chicken fried steak, a piece of Kearns pie and a chocolate shake, and with the Kearns fresh bread, it's a bargain at $1.28, and that includes tax. Well, I ordered up the special and wiped her dry, but before I left, I left a load of rye. And Mama Kearns, fill her up and keep on the truckin' cafe. Yeah, Kearns is good bread. We was trucking Kearns up north of Etowah, pouring down pitchforks and raining like I never saw. Had a Kearns breader with a burnt-out clutch and 18 wheels in the mud. I was all strung out and old Sloan was a mess, so I got on my CB and SOS to meant the mama Kearns fill her up and keep on her trucking. Cafe, Mayday, I says, breaker, breaker, this here's AJ. Then Mavis come on and says, where are you anyway? I says, we're up north of Etowah in the mud. We could sure use a tow job. Do you copy? She says, loud and clear, keep your pants on, honey. Just sit right there and don't do nothing funny. We'll be there as soon as we can scrape the grill off and fire up the Chevy. 10-4, it'll love you. Well, we sat in that truck till a quarter to five. Ate a half a loaf of white and old Sloan had a pie. Then Mavis and her mother and Mama Kern's wrecker arrived. That's just what kept you. She says, take it out of gear. Never mind where we've been. Just sit there and stare. Then she towed us on in till the Mama Kern's fill her up and keep on the truck in Cafe. Yeah, Kern's is far out.
That was wow.
It's far out.
It was far out.
It's totally
I'm,
far out.
Like, slightly sad that I'll never be able to visit this Kearns Cafe. I wonder if that's, like, what proliferated the, like, spread of, like, prepackaged sweet rolls. And that was ridiculous. I wish people out there listening got to hear it, but the video is very funny. I will put it on reciprocityradio.com. Thank you for sharing that, Spencer.
Anytime. Keep an eye out for Sloan. Sloan's the star of that commercial.
He got a pie, which I'm not sure is good for dogs. He got one.
He's been working all day. He or she has been working all day.
It's been, yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, we have 12 minutes more to talk about bread. What am I forgetting? I learned so much today that my brain is just, I can feel it. It was like being back in school, which is great, but also like, it was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm going to miss something important. And that, like, you know, that feeling is nice, but I'm also overwhelmed.
Do you know about the like bread cookie trick?
No.
So if you have like cookies that are like, have a tendency to dry out and transport, you can put like a spritzed slice of bread in the packaging and like as it, will keep everything else moist because of the moisture in the bread.
That's smart. Yeah. You need to
Southern tricks.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, things are so different. And it's funny, when I moved here, I was like, oh, things don't go like stale immediately because it's not like 100% humidity.
Yeah.
Like in Florida, where if you don't wrap something up, like it's gone.
It's gone.
Cannot be revived. I'm just like, I'm very excited to have a mini experiences with the sourdough starter and like make pizza and all kinds of things. I don't know. But now I feel like driven to find a good bakery. And one of the ones that came up was Bien Cui and I think Carroll Gardens. It's on Smith Street. And which is funny because I'm familiar with it because there is a location in the Grand Central Terminal marketplace. And before I get on the train, I often get like one or two of the mini demi baguettes, and they are so good. And I had no idea that I was like hitting the jackpot.
Yeah,
they're really good. But back in the day, I used to go to this cafe all the time, and they had I know their supplier was in Carroll Gardens, which has a lot of bakeries and a lot of like delicatessens and things. There's a lot of Italian stuff over there and French as well. But they had this like chocolate bread. And then an olive bread that I was like my favorite thing in the world. So I need to find, I'm going to like scour the streets this week looking for those breads. And then of course now I'm like, oh, I want to learn how to make chocolate bread. And,
yeah. Put coffee in it.
Yeah. Chocolate. I know coffee would be really cool. I was wondering immediately, I was like, what about curry? What about?
Yeah. They once made this like Russian black bread that had like, I want to say like 45 ingredients. Okay. It was like all kinds of seeds, like caraway and cumin and like all this stuff and coffee and chocolate and like cocoa powder and like made this like earthen black, like not brown, definitely black bread.
Wow.
It was like almost like cake. That it was like amazing. Somewhere between cake and bread because it was like very dense. I don't think that I like worked it enough.
Okay.
But it was like very, very good.
I would like to see that recipe. I tried to look into how to make black bread and I didn't come up with much online, which is sort of surprising since there's so many food blogs and stuff. But I really wanted to just like know what was in it because my partner is very into that. That's his like favorite thing. And when I eat it, I'm like, I feel like this is made with like walnuts or something. I don't even, it's like, it's very dense and yeah. like it feels enriched, but I like, you know, I don't know. It's almost like a grain, not grain, I don't know.
A grain party?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to say?
No, it's I don't know. It's just like thick and dense and like really rich. It's very good and it keeps really well, mm-hmm. which is one of the reasons he likes it. It's also traditional like Russian and I was like, I can't believe I can't. Maybe James Beard here has some answers. But yeah. I don't know. Red. I will also be recapping my experience, and if it's possible, and if with Dana's permission, I will like write out what we did to share with any listeners out there who are interested in making bread. It does seem intimidating, but I think if I get permission to share this, she really made it into like an extremely approachable, very exact, but also like, don't worry, it's going to be fine method. And I really appreciate that. Like, so I'm hoping I'll be able to share with you guys how that goes. And then we'll see if I kill my starter.
I think your starter is going to be fine.
We'll see.
It's in good hands.
We'll do you have any baking projects planned for the future or things that get a rise out of you that you'd like to?
Things that get a rise out of me. I would like to get back into baking bread, like on the daily, weekly, just from like a frugal reality like standpoint. I think like that and like scones are always like a thing that I want. In my life, but
I think I saw Student Kitchen had post a scone recipe today, and I was like, yes, I am not, I'm not a morning person, and you very much are, but I, even when I get up, I just am not hungry. I don't want to eat at all. I go straight for coffee, and then like an hour later, I'm like, I'm dying. But I really am trying to like figure out what I can get myself to eat when I get up. It's like definitely an issue for me. I'll get up and get moving, and then wherever I end up at, I'm like, oh no, I'm so hungry.
Morning bake, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm thinking
that's the way.
It'll be a good way to start the day.
Yeah, and it's scones too, like for sure, I think are kind of perfect because they're not too sweet and they're not too bland. I don't know why I'm like this. Even today, I was like, I'm starving and I'm going to a class about food. But it's just what happened. And then she fed us wonderful challah, so we were fine.
You made the right decision.
Challah was so good. And now I'm like, I need to go straight to Trader Joe's and buy the everything spice because it was like so perfect. Oh my gosh. Yes, I need to. If anyone out there has tips on how to eat in the morning, please let me know because I'm not good at it. Yeah, even made granola from scratch and it's like I can't get it. Not the right texture, the right spice. Well, our time is coming to a close soon. Do you have any last thoughts? I'm sorry, this show has been, I'm very like, my brain's out of commission today. I'm sorry for the scattered thoughts, but I will be like, I'll wrap up everything that we talked about, post the videos, post some actual sources about bread. We will share Mark Bittman's recipe that you suggested for beginners and for anyone who's interested online on reciprocityradio.com, where you can also find previous episodes and all the other recipes that I mentioned during the show. Do you have any final thoughts?
Just that, like, I could talk about bread for like hours and hours. Like, we didn't really like talked about like the like biblical notions of bread
We should come back and do it next week. We could. I was thinking about that, like bread lines, like the bread rain down.
Bread winners.
Yeah.
Like there are all these things. Like I would actually be really excited if I won some bread. Like right there was a bread giveaway.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to like give me some bread. Oh, thank you for giving me bread earlier.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, yeah. I hope you like it. I should have given you more because I have more to bake and I just cut the clean part because I like definitely tore into the other end of it. I hope you enjoy it. And yeah, everyone out there listening, please check out Permanent Bake Sale. It's @ Permanent Bake Sale. On Instagram, it's a great cause. If you're local, definitely do it. It's such good bread. You will not regret it, and you will be supporting some really wonderful causes. And I'm sure there'll be more bake sales in the future, so it's just a good thing to follow that account. Last time, they did a full bake sale with other creators and artists and stuff, and it was amazing. I got like pretzels. There was some cake. Like, it was a really nice thing to do on a weekend, and know that you're like supporting a good cause. Yeah. yeah, thank you so much, everyone that's been listening to us chat. I hope maybe we will come back and we can do more bread talk since we both love it.
Bread.
We haven't even gotten to like what to put on it, like jams and butters. I did a butter episode and it's lost the time, but I did talk about butter for an hour one time. Yeah, thank you so much, everyone that listened. Radio Free Brooklyn is a nonprofit radio station that's volunteer-based. We love to be here, so if you like what you heard for some reason and want to donate or can donate, it's totally tax-deductible, and you will be supporting a lot of really great shows. And we're doing Teens Tank the Mic. I just saw the studio pictures of that studio setup today, and it's incredible. I'm so excited. So you can check out Teens Take the Mic at radiofreebrooklyn.org. It's going to be awesome. We are going to be giving voices to a lot of young people. It makes me so proud. We've been wanting to do this the whole time. So it's been like 3 years and it's finally happening. Super, super, super exciting. Should I take us out with a song? I have the things, all the ones you picked, but I don't know which one you would like to hear.
I think that one.
The last one?
No.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that long enough?
Maybe not. Well, almost. We have. Where is this? Do you know where this is from?
No.
Okay, it's really interesting. Okay.
Let's do Dave.
Okay. We're going to hear from Dave Evans with One Loaf of Bread. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Amanda. This is Spencer. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yay. All right, I'll see you guys next week at 5 live on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Break out!